You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Ballot, the place the conversation begins. I don't know why I've been doing that pause recently, but I have. And when I say recently, I think this is the first time I've done it, because I've recorded two episodes before you hear this, and those will be the next week. But we'll talk about that later. Welcome, everybody, to The Ballot. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ryan Knightsey. Yep, that's how you say the last name. This is an immediate shout-out to Adam and Jesse. So thank you already for listening to this new episode. The ballot is officially out. That's right. If you've been slightly living under a rock, because I am a little delayed in releasing this, life gets in the way, sinuses gets in the way, more specifically. So it took a little bit, but I think it kind of works out, because October is going to be a jam-packed month of ballot Hall of Fame wrestling. I should rather say Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame ballot conversations. I'm kind of looking like I'm going to have an episode every week this October, which is pretty exciting stuff for me to put all that out, and I hope for you as well, the listener. So I guess get into it. But like I said, the ballot's officially out. Dave sent them out. And I got one. I don't know if this might be a shock amongst shock to some people, but I haven't had a ballot until now. That's the truth. This is my first year of a ballot. I've been doing the show all year long. I technically have done the show for 2 years now. That's another shock for a lot of probably new listeners. Technically, I did this behind a Patreon wall for its first year. And I've had, like, you know, I said during the show, when I've ever said there was like a returning guest, and obviously they weren't, it's because this was all a season two, technically. There is a season one out there. It's on a Patreon that's been basically teared down, so all those episodes are free. My plan is to eventually re-release them, I guess, technically, or release them publicly. I might do that to people that are still on the ballot, you know, new people that's still on the ballot that have episodes that weren't voted in or dropped off or whatever, and release that maybe November, December, as like, but maybe December more so than anything, as like additional content to, so you can hear. And they'll be 2 years old. They were from 2024, obviously, but I'll figure that out. But that's neither here nor there. Right now, today, we are discussing the ballot itself. Now that the ballot is a release and I'm looking at it in my Gmail, I'm going to go talk about it, and I want to go break it down. I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this have already become aware of the ballot itself and aware of the people are on it, the new people are on it, the new people that are on it. I don't think any of the new people are returning people. I think it's just strictly new news. I'm going to talk mostly to sort of give everyone a refresher about last year and what happened and what's going to go into this year. And for anyone that's like, doesn't know what I'm talking about, listening to this show, like this ballot show, is the first time. I have no idea if those listeners exist, but if they do, if this is their first time like enjoying and following the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame ballot conversation all year long, then this might be your first time engaging with the ballot itself. Like, in some ways, me. So let's go through the ballot that I have received. I'll read off the criteria and all the usual stuff that's part of the email, and then we'll sort of go through region by region, break it down, Degeneration X style. All right. Terrible joke. I'm so sorry. Let's start off with the ballot itself. So this was emailed to me from Dave, and it reads, this is our ballot for the 2025 Hall of Fame. The ballot is being sent out to major wrestling stars, past and present, major management figures in their industry, writers, and historians. If you are getting this, you're being asked your opinion on who should be inducted into this year's Hall of Fame class. The criteria for the Hall of Fame is a combination of drawing power, being a great in-ring performer, or excelling in one's field in pro wrestling, as well as having historical significance in a positive manner. A candidate should either have something to offer in all three categories or be someone so outstanding in one or two of those categories that they deserve inclusion. You probably have heard that a billion times. I've said that typically at the beginning of every episode. The names listed below are those under consideration for this year. To be eligible, a performer must have reached their 35th birthday and competed 10 years since their debut as a full-time performer, or be someone who has been a full-time pro wrestler for at least 15 years. Longevity should be a prime consideration, rather than a hot 2 or 3 year run, unless someone is so significant as a trendsetter or a historical figure in the business, or valuable to the industry, so many commas here, Dave, that they need to be included. However, just longevity without being either a long-term main eventer, a top draw, and or a top caliber in-ring performer should be seen as relatively meaningless. I think the longevity bit is an important, crucial bit of this ballot, both in the sense of you need longevity, but also if it's a short run, but it's so big or so significant, so trendsettery, maybe such a draw per se. I think there's one person in particular I can think of in the modern section, short term reign, but massive draw. I think that's more of so what this longevity is speaking to, at least in my reading of it. There are more changes in the rules this year, largely because the modern U.S. and Canada category is so full of viable candidates. Each category separate and the number of votes in a category allowed will be 1 in every 3 people on the ballot, so each category will have a different number. The idea is categories of fewer ballots won't be easier to get in, and categories of a lot of balloters won't be difficult that it causes a logjam. The election is broken down into a number of categories. You should check each category for wrestlers that you feel you are familiar enough with based on geography that you've either traveled or are familiar with, and based on the time that you have followed pro wrestling. You do not have to vote for a wrestler in every category you've checked. I don't think I'm going to vote in every single category this year. I definitely have opinions on wrestlers in it, but there's some categories where I'm like, I don't feel confident enough with a strong majority of this many people. I've definitely listened to them. Like historically, US and Canada is a category that I definitely have opinions on wrestlers, but I don't feel the most confident in it. Like I have been listening to Dragon. This is a full tangent. Dragon King Carl has been doing a lot of episodes that are going down the historical US Canada path and discussing each of their candidacies and his opinion and his view. So it's I have been following, I have been watching, I have been doing research, but I don't necessarily feel the most confident. And that, maybe some balloters feel maybe not less confident, but maybe less, less research than I or whatever. I don't know. But or maybe they feel more and all these sort of things. But I'm just sort of I don't, it's a personal preference. I feel so at the end of the day. Where the heck was I? What a tangent. The election is broken down into a number of categories. I already said that. The ballot is also broken down to wrestlers and those who are not pro wrestlers but have been valuable parts of the industry. Obviously, that's the non-wrestler section. You can pick as few as 0 in categories if you don't believe anyone on the list deserves inclusion, or you can skip voting in categories that you don't believe you're familiar enough with to vote in. All responses are confidential. There's nothing to worry about politically about any involvement in this process. Your selections will not be revealed unless you choose to do so yourself. There is obviously a public ballot tracker also floating around there. Do I have the most recent one pulled up? No. I haven't gone to it enough times for it to be on my hot bar. Google, on Google when you start typing something? I think it's a Sheets page. Might not be Sheets. It could be Sheets. Oh yeah, there we go. There's a Sheets. Shout out to the Sheets boys out there, people that use the Sheets. Yeah, so there's a 2025 public ballots list. I forget the name that puts it together, but it's not on this thing, so I apologize. They may be listening. I hope not, and they'll hear my embarrassing information. But there is a public ballot tracker. I believe they have 6 public ballots as of the 23rd, which is last week. That can't be right. Surely I've seen more. Could be right. I don't know. Anyway, so there's definitely something that exists out there. So if people have made it public, that will become public. I know for a fact that on next week's episode regarding Sweet Daddy Siki with Greg Oliver, I was going to say someone else completely. He's already submitted his ballot. to Dave. And I don't think he's made it public. I think the ballot is the first place he is making it public, because I asked him. That's an example of a guy that you don't necessarily have to make it public, but, you know, Greg is, and that's very kind of him. Where was I on this freaking thing? I'm taking too many tangents. Anyone who receives mention on 60% of the ballots from the geographical region and time frame will be added to the Hall of Fame in the class of 2025. If you're unfamiliar with any of the candidates due to geography or have never seen them, that is fine. Ballots are sent to many people from all over the world and from different wrestling cultures so that everyone has as fair a shot as possible. I feel like some people would almost argue against that, but factually, that's probably true. The breakdown for modern historical performance is 30 years ago, or 1995. You want everyone to feel old? Next year will be, I'll be considered a historical performer. That's right, 96. So if the last year the person, wait, yes, 96. So if the last year which person was a headliner or was a key figure in the industry was prior to 1995, they would be in the historical class. If they are still major players after 1995, they would be in the modern class. There is one weird example this year, one specifically weird example in the modern US and Canada that we will talk about that this rule like weirdly affects. All performers who receive mention on 10% to 59.9% of the ballots from the geographical region or era will remain on the ballot for consideration next year. All those who receive less than 10% of the vote will be dropped from next year's ballot. They can return in 2 years based on if there is significant feedback from voters who say they will vote for them. This is mostly for wrestlers who are still active, who may improve their career legacy, but can also be for retired wrestlers if voters believe they should be put on or returned to the ballot. In addition, in following the lead of the Baseball Hall of Fame, which is the model here, we have a 15-year rule. The following candidates have been on the ballot since 2008. Doesn't list anyone that just says that. In baseball, this would be the last year of eligibility. Here, if they don't get at least 50% of the votes in this year's election, they will be removed from the ballot. If they are modern candidates, they can be brought back in the historical performers era in 2 years if it is more than 30 years since their career as a Hall of Fame level performer is up. The following candidates will be dropped from next year's ballot unless they are elected in or garner 50% of the vote. That is, of course, only one person, that is Spiros Arion in the rest of the world region. So good luck. Good luck, buddy. Please return this ballot by November 8th. You can email Dave back or mail. I love the idea of writing Dave a letter. There's something so the fact that that exists. I know I got this in an email, but the fact that it exists that I can mail Dave a letter and it's just a bunch of wrestling bullshit really makes me want to put together a letter for Dave. I just think it's so funny to me. Please check by every category you're familiar with, and then he lists the categories and the wrestlers. And that's where I'm going to depart the email, unless he has a little like postscript. I would love P.S. Good luck. Good luck, boys. I don't know. Whatever Dave wants to do. All right. So I'm going to leave that thing and move on to my data tracker for the 2025 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Hall of Fame. And we'll go region by region. So we'll start off here, I think, with the modern U.S. and Canada region. So last year, of course, Roman Reigns, Paul Orndorff, and the Young Bucks have all gone in. The people that fell off last year were Asuka / Kana, Kevin Owens, the Usos, Bray Wyatt, and Sami Zayn. If anyone feels strongly about their case, Dave will put them back on, I guess, for next year. I don't think anyone's... I guess the Usos legitimately would be the only big difference. There are going to be people that hate that I said that. I'm realistically between any of these people, maybe Kevin, but then he got injured. So not really. Sammy, I mean, US title run, are we going to do anything? Asuka, I don't think she's done really much of anything. Bray Wyatt, obviously not. The Usos, really, it's single stuff. So maybe Dave wouldn't do it. I don't know. That's really the only people. Anyways, I've talked about them too much. So that was 5 people that fell off the ballot, 3 people that went in. So that was 8, obviously, in total. And he added, as we know, 6 people We knew about four of them announced last year, five about middle of the year with Sabu, and then this new person is Bill Dundee. He's the person with the not 1550. He's the person with the modern historical split where Dave is considering him a modern U.S. and Canada wrestler, even though he is here, which is, I guess, technically true. I think it was like USWA, I think is what the promotion was that he was still in. Still major, I guess, past 95. So sure, it feels so weird that he's in here. So basically, for this region, we had 13 people that were left after the eight left them, and we added six more people. So yeah, they're pretty solid. You know, we didn't add a bunch more people, kind of clearing a logjam, only really by two, which leaves us with 19 people in this region. And this is in the order of percentage votes received last year for 2024. And that order is as follows: CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Mark and Jay Briscoe, the Steiner Brothers, Randy Orton, Adam Copeland or Edge, John Moxley, Becky Lynch, Bill Goldberg, Matt and Jeff Hardy, Samoa Joe, The Outsiders, Trish Stratus, and then obviously the new people, Bill Dundee, FTR, Drew McIntyre, Mercedes Moné, Seth Rollins, and Sabu. Obviously, a lot of people already know I've had various episodes with FTR, Drew McIntyre, Mercedes Moné, Sabu this year. Seth Rollins is returning. He's a weird dude. And I'm not talking about the character. I'm talking about his thing. He was on the 2021 ballot. He dropped off immediately, getting less than 10. Then he got brought back in the 2023 ballot. He fell off, receiving less than 10%. And here he is again in 2025. Will he drop off again? He has a weird, weird thing here where he keeps getting dropped off. Maybe he'll stay on. Maybe he'll drop off. Who the heck knows? I think it's like there's enough wiggle room where he might stay on. So I guess we'll find out. And then obviously Bill Dundee. He's somebody that's, I believe, been on the ballot before as a singles. I believe he's been on there as a singles. I believe the situation specifically is that Bill Dundee was on as a single in 2021. Yes, got 49 of the votes, 11%. And then obviously nothing happened, right? He didn't drop off or anything. Just felt like a glaring omission or a weird thing that he fell off. Well, that's because in 2022, I believe, that's when Dave put the tag team rule sort of thing together, where Bill Dundee was then slopped into a tag team with Jerry Lawler in 2022, and they fell off the ballot immediately. So Bill Dundee, a regular, what is it, Mil Máscaras, I want to say? A regular Curtis Axel, I think, where he never got eliminated, but he's been counted out or whatever. So basically, there's been a little bit of a contingency to try to, or not contingency, there's a little bit of a group that's just like, hey, let's put him back on the ballot to officially vote him out. Because he's, you know, back, like I said, he was on in 2021 and got 11% of the vote. That's what I think I said. So, I mean, realistically, it sucks to suck for Bill Dundee. He's basically on here to probably get voted off immediately. So, sorry, buddy. So that's everyone percentage. CM Punk at the highest, 52.1%. Cody Rhodes at 48.1%, obviously the bottom. Holding strong, holding steady. Trish Stratus at 10.9%. The person that had the biggest year-over-year growth from 2023 into 2024 is Jon Moxley. He had a growth of 102.3%. That's because he went from 13% to 26%. Practically doubled, a little more than doubled. Any other fun facts I could give you? The person that had the highest average, that's right, I had an average going together here. Let me do my filter stuff. So the highest average in rankings. So every year, obviously, when Dave announces who goes in the Hall of Fame, he also gives the stats of the reporters, historians, active professionals, and retired professionals stats, and how various wrestlers rank in those categories. For modern pro wrestler, if you took the average of all of those rankings, Roman Reigns was number one with a bullet at an average rank of 5.5. Then he got Paul Orndorff, 12.25. Then Young Bucks, 17.5. And then Punk, Cody, Briscoes, all of that tracks. It's all practically the same, I believe. I'm just double checking. I believe it's all practically the same. I don't think there's any big bits there, which obviously makes sense. But if you want to look at who or who did what or how did who, I believe it is. I actually don't think, is this even adjusting my stuff? Let's see. Yeah, it is. Okay. So, the people that ranked the highest were Porters, was the Young Bucks. They ranked number two. People that ranked highest for historians in this region is Roman Reigns, who ranked at number five. Person who ranked highest for active professionals was ranked number six, also Roman Reigns. And the person who ranked highest for retired professionals, holding strong for retired professionals, Randy Orton. That's basically, he didn't rank in anyone else's list at all. I think it's for the top 30, I believe. Didn't rank at all for anyone else, just retired professionals at two. So that's basically what's holding it on for the old Randy Orton. Any other stats? Adam Copeland, of course, years on the ballot, 17. He was on the trend to getting fallen off, and then when he's returned, Dave said, no, let's just keep him on. And so he's on this ridiculous ignorance of 15-50 rule with Edge. So he's been on here for 17, most out of anybody. That's probably a record. I have to imagine that. Actually, I don't think it's a record because I think Slaughter was on there for a century. Do I have that number in front of me? No, I don't. So it's probably getting there. Let's see. So the next highest from there is going to be CM Punk. He's on his 12th year. I think there's a very strong chance he will go in. And then after that is Randy Orton, who is on his 11th year on the ballot. Will he? I think Randy Orton, there's a good shot he gets the 1550. And then that will be interesting because he is currently sitting at 29.1%. So there's a good chance that we're going to have to sit and talk about Randy Orton for the next 4 years, I believe. So good luck, wrestling podcasters. All right. That is basically it for modern U.S. and Canada. So let's move on to the historic U.S. and Canada region. I don't know what I'm saying. I feel like I had some Java before. I'm recording this at 9 o'clock p.m. You know, the adrenaline is flowing, I think. So, okay, the historical region. So this only had one person go in last year, and that was, of course, Johnny Rougeau. So that is always exciting. He went in 62.7%. Only one person fell off, and that was Sid Vicious. Obviously, he passed away last year, and he got put onto the ballot, and he got less than 10%, so he is no longer in here. So we lose two people, and Johnny Rougeau and Sid Vicious, and we only gain one, and that is, of course, Sweet Daddy Siki, kind of 60s, 70s, and 80s was his region in Canada. So you'll hear way more about Sweet Daddy Siki literally next week with Greg Oliver, a great guest for Sweet Daddy Siki, a guy who personally knew Sweet Daddy Siki, wrote a whole documentary and various books about him. So definitely go check out that episode next week. So that being said, two off, one on, we have a full amount of 20 people in this region. I believe the most out of anyone, because I believe the only other one can fight it is modern, but non-wrestlers could easily fight it too. I feel that they have a crap ton as well. Yeah, they have a crap ton, 24, Jesus Christ. All right, historical U.S. and Canada. We have, leading the pack, Junkyard Dog, then June Byers, the British Bulldogs, Kevin and Kerry and David Von Erich, Ole Anderson, Sputnik Monroe, Wild Bull Curry, Cowboy Bob Ellis, The Iron Sheik, Tully Blanchard and Arn Anderson with J.J. Dillon, Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood, The Hart Foundation, of course that being the tag team of Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart, I should probably say, Black Gordman and Great Goliath, Mad Dog and Butcher Vachon, The Wild Samoans, Bob Armstrong, Pampero Furpo, Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch, Archie, the Mongolian Stomper, Goldie, and of course, Sweet Daddy Siki. Junkyard Dog obviously leads the pack, 53.8%, very close to 60 as well. Right underneath, pretty much right underneath, is June Byers at 50.4. So I think there's a good chance that either it's going to continue. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a good amount of percentage votes available with Johnny Rougeau in, and I guess with Sid out, but I think there's a good shot that Junkyard Dog could probably get in this year. Would I be shocked if he doesn't go in at all this year? Maybe, probably not. But I think there's a really good shot that he'll go in this year, and maybe also accompanying him is June Byers. I guess we'll see how that shakes out. And then from there, obviously, British Bulldogs at 8.4%. So the biggest year-over-year growth in this region, two very close cases, is going to be Cowboy Bob Ellis, 15.2% to 28.4%. That's an 86.8% increase. And then right below that is actually Mad Dog and Butcher Vachon, an 85.71% increase year over year. That's from a 10.5 practically off the ballot to 19.5 in 2024. I do just want to also point out there was a big sort of decrease this region. I didn't really think I talked about decreases in modern. There wasn't anyone massive. The only massive one was 7.49% of a decrease with Edge and Adam Copeland. So there's a bigger one here with the Heart Foundation, a decrease of 12.6%. That is basically in 2023, they got 25.4%, and in 2024, 22.2%. So a fairly small decrease. You know, they could certainly, I guess, make up for it this year, but a decrease nonetheless. Other bits of information. Let's see. Let's talk about the rankings of the various categories. I think it's all in the same sort of vein where the highest ranked was Johnny Rougeau, Junkyard Dog, June Byers. It all makes sense. It all stretches out in the same exact way. So the reporters category, the highest person that ranked, the wrestler that ranked highest for the reporters here was Junkyard Dog. Surprisingly, beating out Johnny Rougeau, Junkyard Dog got fourth for reporters, so really holding strong there. And to make up for it, the person that ranked the highest for historians was Johnny Rougeau at four as well. So that really evens itself out, and that would help get Johnny Rougeau in for sure. Active pros, the person that ranks highest is, of course, Johnny Rougeau, ranked third. Retired pros, only, I believe, two people. I'm looking at this list, double-checking it, like much like the old Saint Nick. And for retired pros, only two people ranked on the entire list for retired pros, and that was the British Bulldogs at 15 and Dusty Rhodes and Dick Murdoch at 16. What does that say about retired pros and this list? Probably a lot. Probably something. I'm not entirely sure. I don't read minds. Years on the ballot, the person that's leading the pack again is Junkyard Dog. This is his 12th year. Oh, sorry. No, my apologies. June Byers. This is June Byers' 14th year on the ballot. Junkyard Dog right behind at 12. Then you have Cowboy Bob Ellis at 11. So that is all very interesting. Like I said, look, I think if Junkyard Dog is probably going to go in this region, June Byers, I could see it. I think it's plausible that she will probably go in as well. But if she doesn't go in, next year will be 1550, and those typically bump up for a lot of people. So if it's not this year, I think it's definitely next year for June Byers. And then Cowboy Ellis, you know, I think he's got a little bit of time to continue making case. He had the strongest year-over-year growth. Obviously, something happened. Something was in the water for 2024. Is that same thing in the water? I guess drink it and find out. Oh, God. Let's move on to Japan. I love a podcast where the host is disgusted by himself. Let's move on to Japan. So Japan had two people go in last year. That, of course, was Shingo Takagi and Shima. Shima, I think, if I'm not mistaken, had the biggest year-over-year growth out of anyone in any single category last year. He went from 23.4% to a Hall of Famer, 60.3%. That's a 157.69% year-over-year growth. An insane number. Unbelievable. So Shingo and Shima both went in. The person that fell off the ballot was Kento Miyahara, obviously receiving less than 10%. So with three people off, only two people get added on. Those, of course, being Io Shirai, a great episode of The Ballot with Scotty Edwards and Trent Brayward, and Masaki Mochizuki. That will be out in 2 weeks with Alan Forel. These episodes with Greg Oliver and Alan, already been recorded. So get ready, stay tuned for that. So with all that being said, that means there is 11 people in this category. Let's say who they are. Starting off with our first at bat, 53.2% leading the pack, Hayabusa. Then you got Manami Toyota and Toshio Yamada, Yoshiaka Fujiwara, Yoshihiro Takayama, Tiger Jeet Singh, Meiko Satomura, Antonio Inoki and Seiji Sakaguchi, Satoshi Kojima and Hiroshi Tenzan, Zack Sabre Jr., and then the new people, Io Sky, Io Shirai, and Masaki Mochizuki. So like I said, Hayabusa is leading the pack at 53.2%. Manami Toyota and Yamada at 42.6%. So there's a lot. I think Japan, it's kind of been the talk of the town. Japan is the most interesting category. It's a fairly small category here. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, you only get 3 votes. And you having 2 people like Shingo and Shima both getting above 60 last year go in, that's a lot of votes up for grabs. I think there's a good shot, like I said, that Hayabusa could go in. He had massive year-over-year growth as well last year. I believe other than Shima, it would then be Hayabusa, who had 129.3% year-over-year growth, going from 23.2% to 53.2%. Obviously, we're not going to get like that level of growth probably again, but it obviously shows that, like, look, people looked at Shingo a lot, people looked at Shima a lot. There was a big focus, it felt like, on, like, the independent scene, as it were, in Japan, with, I imagine, Dragon Gate as well, with Shima especially, Hayabusa. I think that's a lot of what's going on there. So I think there's a very good chance that Hayabusa is going to go in. Toyota and Yamada, they had a big boost last year as well, 88.5% year-over-year growth. So I don't think they're having another big year. It must have been some sort of article or something that came out that year. I don't know, but like, I don't necessarily expect that we'll get a massive boost. But again, like I said, with Shingo and Shima going both in, there's a lot of votes up for grabs. And I kind of just, I don't know. I think Hayabusa is probably going in. Like, I feel like if anybody who's near the top, they're probably going in. That's not really a big thing to say. But like from there, it's like, I don't know. Is it Toyota going in as well? I don't know, this year, or blasting up? Is Zack Sabre Jr., who had a year of being champion and double main eventing the Tokyo Dome, you know, is that going to be something for him a lot? Is he going to have a massive boost? How is Io and Mochizuki going to, you know, rank on the ballot? Japan's just very fascinating altogether. So I don't really know how it's going to shake out, but I am excited to find out for sure. People for reporters, the person that ranked the highest was Shingo at 7. The person that ranked the highest for historians was also Shingo at 11. So shout out Slurpee Takagi. Is that anything? That might be gross. The person that ranked the highest for act performers, Hayabusa, that holds. You have to imagine he will probably go in, because, you know, I think he got 25 and 25 for reporters and historians and 21 for retired pros. So only up from here for Hayabusa, really. And then for retired pros, the person that ranked the highest was ranked 4th, Manami Toyota and Toshio Yamada. So we'll find out what happens there. All right, I think that's everything, all my little bits. Oh, the years. So people that are on this ballot the most have been Kojima and Tenzan. This is their 12th year on the ballot. Will they fall off before then? They're currently sitting at 17%. There's a good shot they fall off. Like I said, there's votes aplenty avail, so we'll find out. But I don't, who knows? They might make it to 1550. They could fall off before then. Who the heck knows? I don't. From there, it's then tied with 10 year on the ballot, Hayabusa and Fujiwara. So again, we'll see how those people shake out. All right, let's move on to Mexico. Mexico got one person in, or several people, I guess, technically in. Los Hermanos Dinamita. They went in at 61.3% last year. And 2 people fell off. Psycho Clown got less than 10%, but Hurricane Ramirez fell to the 15 over 50% rule, only getting 40.9% in his 15th year on the ballot. So he is out of here. That leaves us with if I'm not mistaken, only one new addition to this ballot, and that is a early episode, rather, of this season of the ballot, and that is, of course, Los Infernales, El Centenico, Prata Morgan, and MS1, the sort of, not the original team of Los Infernales, but the most popular one for sure, a faction that still exists today, obviously not with those people, but a faction that still exists today, so that's always fascinating. So that with three people off and one group in, let's say, that leaves us with only 10 people in this region, and those people are thus with leading the pack in 53.2%, Dorel Dixon, next up is Gran Hamada, Sangre Chicana, Angel Blanco and Dr. Wagner, El Hijo del Santo and Octagon, Volador Jr., Mascarita Sangrada, La Parca from AAA, El Dandy, who can doubt him, I had to, and of course Los Infernales. So, like I said, really impact Darrell Dixon, 53.2%, Gran Hamada, 42.5%, and Sangre Chicana at 32.8%. The person that had the biggest year-over-year growth here was Darrell Dixon, 63.19% year-over-year growth, going from 32.6% to 53.2%. So I think there's a strong chance that they could potentially go in. If you're looking at outside people, Angel Blanco and Dr. Wagner Jr. also had a 44% year-over-year growth increase. That's pretty significant. There were some declines, specifically with El Dandy, but that's only 5.33%, basically. So nothing too crazy, but, you know, important to point out as well. So the person that ranked the highest for reporters is ranked 12th, or was ranked 12th, and of course that was Los Hermanos Dinamita. So again, a lot of reporters who ranked the highest, they now have a bunch of votes to put out into Mexico region. Who is that going to be? Very interesting. And if you said you thought it was a lot of votes for reporters, well, Los Hermanos Dinamita also ranked the highest for historians overall, ranked number one with a bullet. So again, lots of votes available for both reporters and historians. So if you're going to look at Mexico shakeups, obviously when it comes to like public ballots and the public ballot that's out there, pretty much I would say 99 probably percent of those public ballots are going to be reporters and historians. I don't know how many active pros or retired pros get put on that public ballot tracker. So like if you're looking at the public ballots of the reporters and historians, namely, they're going to be the big movers and shakers in the Mexico region. So I think, you know, if you want to look at that public ballot tracker, that might be a good indicator of who may or may not going in, or rather who's going to get a lot of year-over-year growth. Because, like I said, lot of votes available from reporters and historians after Los Hermanos Dinamita going in. Active professionals, the highest ranked person here was number 8, El Hijo del Santo and Octagon. And then retired pros, the highest ranked is actually a tie. It's both at ranked number 13, Los Hermanos Dinamita and Hurricane Ramirez. So two people, hey, look, retired pros is also going to be a big factor here because their two highest ranked people are both off and they don't have anyone else that ranked in any capacity on their list in their top 30. So, you know, I don't know. Mexico secretly a dark horse of an insane region. Reporters, historians, their highest ranked people, especially for historians, is in Los Hermanos Dinamita. Retired pros, the only two groups that have been on their list last year for top 30 votes getters, I guess, overall from all categories, is Los Hermanos and Hurricane Ramirez. Both of them are out. A very, very fascinating region to me. I am fascinated to see how it will shake out. I think another thing that's maybe under discussed for me this year for the Mexico region is the purchase of AAA by WWE. I don't know how that is going to affect things. You have to think that it might, right? Like, obviously, there's a good amount of, like, CMLL folks, Darrell Dixon, Volador Jr., you know, Los Infernales, of course. But there's also a good amount of AAA folks. And obviously, there's even more, like, historical people. But there's a good amount of AAA folks, obviously, right? El Blanco and Dr. Wagner, I believe, is more of a AAA team. But definitely El Hijo de Santo and Octagon. I believe their big thing is AAA Worlds Collide, is what I may be confusing of Blanco and Dr. Wagner, but I'm pretty confident it's Santo and Octagon. But that could be fascinating to me. I mean, even having someone named La Parca and it specifically says AAA, I would be interested to see how that affects things. I mean, Masquerade Sangrada was literally on WWE television, I guess YouTube, the other month or whatever. I mean, fell off the ballot, but Psycho Clown, I guess. So, I mean, I think it's kind of under-discussed to a certain degree. I am fascinated to see how it will shake out this year. Like I said, I think there's a lot of interesting votes up for grabs. I think the AAA purchase is going to affect some people in a certain type of way. We'll sort of see how it goes. I think we're going to see how it goes. Obviously, Hurricane Ramirez was the number one with a bullet years on the ballot at 15. From there, it actually is a steep drop off. The longest person on this ballot is Sangre Chicana for 6 years. From there, it's like a two-way tie. You know, a two-way tie. Darrell Dixon and La Parca AAA at 5 years on the ballot. So there, you know, these people could easily stay. We could just be discussing them for the next 10 years. The lowest was El Dandy, 18.8%, that didn't fall off. So there's a good chance. I mean, there's a lot of votes up for grabs, like I'm saying. I think it's only three in the Mexico region as well. Yes, only three. So there's a good chance, you know, three. Dave designed it so that the smaller votes, it's harder to leave, right? It's trying to fix the log jams for the number of votes. So this could be a freaking mess, is what I'm trying to say. So very interesting. I'm very fascinated to see how Mexico is going to do this year. All right, let's move on. We got two categories left, so I hope you are appreciating and listening to this episode, rather listening and appreciating. Let's talk about the rest of the world region. Talked about them a lot this year on the ballot. We had four new people, and that is Steve Gray, Les Kellett, Gilbert Leduc, and Ted Boy Marino. And only one person fell off last year, and that was, of course, Johnny Saint. He was on his 15th year and was under the gauze of the 50% rule, beat it 60.3%, so he is a Hall of Famer. So only one off and four on. I think that is the only region that Dave has, like, grown significantly, basically adding a whole nother vote in the region is what Dave did. So, hey, look, get excited if you're a voter in the rest of the world region. So the people that you have in this region, the highest percentage vote total was 49.8% in 2024. That was, of course, held by Jose Torres. Next up, you have the 15-year person Spiros Arion, the Royal Brothers, Adrian Street, George Gordienko, Billy Joyce, Otto Vanz, Dominic DiNucci, Killer Carl Cox, and then, of course, your newbies, Steve Gray, Les Kellett, Gilbert Leduc, and Ted Boy Marino. Last year, the biggest year-over-year growth was actually in Spiros Arion. There was a real push probably to get him in before the 15-50-year rule might knock him out. He went from 29.4% to 46.4%. That's a growth of 57.82%. So really solid work there. He's not far off from 50% at 46.4%. So there's a real shot that he, if he doesn't go in this year, that he will probably stay around. I think it's going to be a real battle to see how those four newbies affect things. It'd be my guess. So we'll sort of see how that goes for Spiros Arion and obviously Jose Torres. This had also some two people that had big drops and dips. At least above a 10% range. That was the biggest drop is in Dominic DiNucci, going year-over-year decline in 13.54%, followed up by Otto Vanz, 11.39% decline. So not that great for them. Let's look at the sort of voter categories. Number one with a bullet, reporters voted for Johnny Saint. So again, a lot of votes up for grabs. We have this sort of, last year we sort of talked about that there's this, I think there's this eye of Sauron of American voters. I think I might have mentioned this with Ethan Tyler. that episode covering Les Kellett. That I feel that in the rest of the world region, there is this almost this eye of Sauron from American voters. That especially when I'm saying American voters, I mean the ones that are like, they see a name and they vote for somebody. They vote for the person they know. They're parachuting it a little bit. And with Johnny St. Gaughan, obviously ranked the highest of reporters, I'm fascinated to see who will be the next person. The one thing I guessed last year, and I'm fascinated to see how it plays out, was it could be Adrian Street. Like, I've done a lot of research, obviously, the rest of the world this year. I did four episodes about various people, and I've researched some people last year, like George Gordienko. I say a lot of research, but I just named all the newer people in the past 2 years. But, you know, I've done other research talking to people. Do I feel confident voting this region? Well, I'll find out. I'm on the edge. I'm teetering. Basically what I'm saying is that, like, I feel like I am still, probably like most people, most listeners here on the ballot, I'll say lovingly, a basic bitch when it comes to the rest of the world region. I feel like there is an element for me of like, I don't know who this person is. I'm not going to vote for them. Or I know who this person is and I'm going to vote for them. And obviously this all stems from, you know, sort of the big daddy of it all, falling off the ballot in 2023. He had a lot of votes, fighting the 1550, I believe, as well. And then it was like, okay, who's the next guy up? And then suddenly massive growth with Johnny Saint, 35% year-over-year increase for him. You know, it sort of came down of like, you know, Johnny Saint was a guy. And then the other guy for reporters who's next up was ranked third, Adrian Street. And I kind of feel like if I'm going to pinpoint any Eye of Sauron guy on anybody, it could be Adrian Street. In some capacity, I hope the work that I have done on this show, I hope to fight that a little bit. And in some ways, I kind of hope that, you know, if there are some people, you know, this isn't a massive podcast by any means of the imagination, but I kind of hope that it fights a little bit of that fight of the Ire of Sauron. I like to think of myself as Aragorn, Gimli. I like Gimli. I've always played, you know, I played those video games, Lord of the Rings video games growing up. I remember playing the Two Towers with my brother a lot growing up, and I always played Gimli. So I like to think of myself as Gimli type in the sense that I'm not short at all. I'm 6'5". You know, look, I think that I hope to have fought off a little bit by shining some light on these four newbies. But like, look, Adrian Street is like a name that's right there. And he has some help with retired pros as well. So we'll see what happens. But that's enough with my digressions. Historians, the highest they ranked was Jose Torres at third. Active pros, the highest they ranked was Johnny Saint. He's obviously in. Again, votes avail. The next highest for them was Otto Vons, which is always interesting because he dropped. Even though active pros didn't help him enough, he fell for everybody else. He was actually the last ranked public announcement, I guess, in the retired pros at rank number 30. Retired pros, the highest ranked is actually a tie, Johnny Saint and Billy Joyce. The next highest person there, again, Adrian Street, ranked number 9. So, look, it's plausible. I think it's certainly plausible. Like, again, if you're looking at these, like, average of all of these ranks, Johnny Saint, a 12.5 average. If you rank across, you know, reporters, he ranked number 1. Historians didn't rank. Active pros, 2. Retired pros, 7. I just, for didn't rank people, I just gave them a big chunky 40. So, average rank of 12.5. The next highest is Adrian Street at 16. Again, could be nothing, could be something. What's his name? Jim Cramer. I'm going to be hitting buttons and fearing the stock market and falling, crashing or blowing up, or I don't know. It could be nothing. I guess what I'm saying is I don't necessarily feel like Adrian Street is a Hall of Famer. I guess is kind of what I'm saying here. I'm not like super against his case or anything, but it's just sort of like, I don't know. I don't know. This data could mean something. It's literally 1 year of data. I don't know anything else. Could be nothing, could be something. Maybe I am crazy, which is, of course, true. Non-wrestlers, last category here. Only one person went in. I believe I said two in rest of the world, four newbies, or two off, four on. This year in the non-wrestlers, one off, that of course was Bobby Davis, who went in at 60.2%. And we have three new additions. So that's a positive plus two, which I guess actually is the same as rest of the world. So that's a positive plus two. This is a massive category. This is 23 people. My apologies. 23 people in the non-wrestlers. Dave is trying to fix a logjam, I guess, of the voting situation, but then just keeps adding more people. And look, in his defense, he's added Bill Mercer, who's someone that passed away. He added Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse Ventura for reasons. Actually, don't know why exactly. I think Gorilla was because there's a book coming out on Gorilla, is that out? Is that book out yet? I feel like I've been hearing about this Gorilla Monsoon book for a century. Is it The Irresistible Force? The Life and Times of Gorilla Monsoon? Oh, it must be. Oh my God. Voice of Wrestling just put out a book review. So shout out Abraham Delgado. Yes, the Brian R. Solomon book, The Irresistible Force, The Life and Times of Gorilla Monsoon. This was not the cover photo I thought was on this book, and it looks cool. Gorilla Monsoon looks like he owns a casino in this picture. It's so cool. That book just came out. VOW just put out a book review for it, unless it's been out for a little bit, and Abraham, it took Abraham a while to get through it. Obviously, I haven't read it. I didn't even know it was out yet. And then once I can go back. There we go. When did this book come out? Let's see. Big old tangent. Does Amazon say when the book goes out? Probably not, right? No, I don't think so. And okay, I've lost interest. All right, so let's move on. And so that was the book, obviously, for Gorilla Monsoon. And then Jesse Ventura. I don't think there was necessarily anything new that I knew about Ventura. Obviously, this year he's been on the Saturday Night's Main Event shows for WWE. Fascinating to see how that will play things out for him. Let me look at the sheet here. I forget who put this sheet together too. So Jesse Ventura came on in 2000, has been on since 2014. Oh, that's what it was. That was the big thing. He was on till 2014. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. That was his 15th year. Was he a 1550? Did that rule exist in 2014? It had to have been. I don't know. But it doesn't say. I feel like typically it says when they fall off the ballot to 15% rule. So maybe he didn't. Yeah. So this Google Sheet I'm looking at, a Google Sheet, Google Doc, Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame balloting results 1996 to 2025. Whoever put it together, thank you. Don't know the name. I've had this in here for a couple years now. It doesn't necessarily say that he fell off the ballot. So maybe he didn't fully fall off the ballot. Dave just like took him off because it felt like a 1550. I don't actually know. I think that might have been the situation. At the very least, he was in there for modern US and Canada. He's now here for historical, or rather non-wrestler historical. So he might have been in there as a wrestler, I guess, for modern US and Canada, and now he's in here as an announcer. So we'll see what happens there. But those are the three newbies. I don't think I've said the full list. So the full list is thus. Leading the pack, Bobby Bruns, 56.4%. Then next up, Ted Turner, Morris Siegel, Mike Tenay, Roy Welsh, Larry Maystick, Koichi Yoshizawa, Stanley Weston, Jim Johnston, James Melby, The Grand Wizard, Tony Schiavone, Kevin Sullivan, Dave Brown, Joe Higuchi, Rossi Ogawa, George Scott, Bob Caudill, Reggie Parks, Zane Bresloff, and of course your newbies, Gorilla Monsoon, Jesse Ventura, and Bill Mercer. Top of the pack, 56.4%, Bobby Bruns, Ted Turner, 52.5%, then you got Morris Siegel at 48.1%, Mike Tenay, 41.8%. Again, look, top of the pack, Bobby Bruns, possibly going in. We'll see how that shakes out, especially how that affects, you know, because I think, what is he listed under? Bobby Bruns is Japan. Oh, even more interesting. How will that affect Oh, that affects Bubby Bruns. That's very fascinating to see. Year-over-year growth, there were two people that were pretty large. The biggest was 58.96% year-over-year growth for Roy Welsh. Went from 25.1 to 39.9, practically 40. Year-over-year growth, the other one was 53.18% year-over-year growth. So again, pretty big. Morris Siegel was the name. 2023 got 31.4%, and 2024 got 48.1%. Big drops in this region as well. Could have obviously been from other regions because of how the weird ties between the non-wrestlers and all the regions. They all come from a specific region, technically. Or rather, they're in this non-wrestlers thing. You got 7 maximum votes to vote for wrestlers and non-wrestlers, but they all represent different regions. Like Dave Brown is from modern U.S. and Canada. Bobby Bruns is from Japan. Bob Caudle is from historical U.S. and Canada. And no one in here from Mexico. Sorry, Mexico. Sorry, rest of the world. Get some candidates. But so like their votes, if I'm not mistaken, get counted as part in the same pot as their various regions that they represent. So it's kind of like bonus votes to a certain degree, but it's a little, it always confuses me how exactly it's done, but I'm pretty sure it's like, hey, look, you got some extra things over here. We're going to put them in the same pot and see how it all puts together. So big drops in this section. There were a lot of people that were over 10%. There were a couple of people that were over 20%. The highest drop year over year was with Jim Johnston, at 23.86% drop. He was 44% and then dropped to 33.5%. From there, it's a 22.29% year-over-year drop with Reggie Parks, a 21.72% year-over-year drop with George Scott, and I'll just shout out this one, 16.26% drop with Bob Caudle. So a lot of drops. A lot of drops. And we're adding 3 more announcers, obviously, as well. So we'll see how that all shakes out here with this group. Year over year, I don't think I mentioned it for rest of the world, so I'll say that real quick. Spiros Arion, obviously 15 years on the ballot. This is 1550 rule. We'll see how that'll affect him. The next highest is actually going to be a tie of Billy Joyce and Killer Carl Cox. So again, see how that goes. With non-wrestlers, the highest is actually ranked, tied actually. Both 13 years on the ballot, Stanley Weston and Dave Brown. So interesting. We'll see how much longer they can stay on the ballot. Stanley Weston, 33.6%. He did decline year over year last year, so we'll see how it goes. Dave Brown slightly grew by basically 3%, but he's sitting pretty at 25.8. So we'll see how that goes for the old Dave man. Not a phrase. Categories of voter bodies. The highest ranked reporter person was at rank number 10, Ted Turner, more like 10 Turner. Historians ranked number 2, Bobby Bruns. Active pros, the highest way down here is Tony Schiavone, 9, ranked number 9. So he's got a little bit of a Randy Orton situation for Tony Schiavone. And then retired pros, ranked number 1, Larry Maystick. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I always feel like I'm pronouncing it wrong. And then Bobby runs at 10. So a lot of potential here. There's could be someone that pops in, but you know, if you're representing modern US and Canada, which is kind of not a crapshoot, that's not the word, but kind of like a all over the place, or rather could be all over the place. I feel like that's tough for Ted Turner. And who does Bobby Bruns is Japan. Again, someone that's like the ballot stuff is all over the place. Who the heck knows what's going to happen there? And then who does Morris Siegel must be historical, I presume. Yeah, Morris Siegel is historical. It's less such a situation for Morris Siegel. So we'll see how that goes for them. But even then, I mean, looked at like historians ranked number 2 what for Bobby Bruns. Who was ranked number 1 yet again? I believe it was Los Hermanos Dinamita. So again, like we'll see how they go. There's a good chance Bobby Bruns is ranked number 1 for historians. And that might just get him over the edge. So we'll find out. But those are also completely different regions. No, they're not. Yes, they are. That's Mexico and Japan. So again, we'll see how this all shakes out. Non-wrestlers, it's just like, I feel like impossible to predict. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. We're gonna roll the old. We're gonna. What is it? What is the line? We're gonna roll the cards. We're gonna roll the cards on this one. Great movie, by the way. One bad after another. We're gonna roll the cards on this one and see how things shake out for the non-wrestlers. Yeah, that's pretty much it for the ballot. I talked very fast, and I apologize, but I talked for an hour, and I got work in the morning, and I gotta edit together the next 2 weeks, at least, that I have in the cooker, in the bank. So yeah, that is it for this episode of The Ballot. What the plan is for the next 2 weeks at minimum, as I said earlier, is going to be Sweet Daddy Siki with Greg Oliver next week on the 8th. And then the week after that, on the 15th, is going to be Alan Farrell and I discussing Masaki Mochizuki. My hope, and I have not yet asked the person, but I have a person in mind based off a rec. My hope is to get that person to discuss Bill Mercer, and that would be an episode for the 22nd. That has not been put together. So if that can't be put together or I can't find someone else based on all this sort of stuff, we will see if there will be an episode regarding Bill Mercer. He is a new person. These new people, I try really hard to get somebody. If they can't work out, then it's just, you know, it's what it is. But my hope is to get an episode out regarding Bill Mercer by the 22nd. But, you know, that's 3 weeks away, so we got a little time. And then, you know, as well, if not then, it will be at minimum probably the 29th and the 5th, or maybe the 22nd and the 29th. Who the heck knows? I'll find that out. Maybe I'll just lock in on the 29th and the 5th. I don't know. I'll probably have a two-parter episode about my thoughts about the ballot itself, who I'm considering, who I would vote for. So that would be kind of a two-parter of my public ballot, if it were. You may have noticed this season, this what I do with this show is, you know, I realized this actually in one of the episodes I just recorded. I'll let you decide. I realized this in the show, and I kind of been titling it on YouTube as such, but like, you know, I've been thinking about a lot what the ballot is. And the ballot to me, you know, I think like is it like a debate? No, I don't think it's necessarily a debate. Is it discussion? Yeah, to a certain degree, yeah. Is it a love fest? No, not necessarily. I mean, yes, there are people that I bring on the guest because I think they're perfect for this guest to discuss their case. There are also some people that I'll bring on a guest, and both the guest and I are like, this person doesn't really have a case. That happened with Drew McIntyre, that happened with FTR, less so FTR, more so Drew McIntyre. Where, you know, if it's like, I think this person's a good guest to have on and discuss, but, you know, in some ways when they don't have a case, part of the reasoning of finding a good guest is someone that can talk up a case or talk at least at length of what their case currently is. And that's kind of what the show is. It's not necessarily a debate between two people. There are a lot of shows that kind of do that. But what the show is just more so like the case study. That's kind of what I've been titling it on YouTube. These are all case studies. These are kind of, I try to have the conversation of what their case is, what it currently is. I think a question I want to start asking the guests for the next season are, what do you think could help change or help add rather to their case? You know, when it comes to discussion, you know, I say this in a future episode that like, I think a lot of the new people, when they first get voted on, they either drop off or stay on. I mean, last year we had one, two, three, I guess you can say with Psycho Clown, you had 8 people who were on for the first time ever last year, and they all fell off. This year you had, I want to say even a little bit more, if I'm not mistaken. I could have been, well, let me see if I can do that math real quick. I'm going to put myself on the spot. So this year you had Sweet Daddy Siki. You had Io Shirai and Masaki Mochizuki, which is 3. You have in Mexico, Los Hermanos, or Los Infernales, so that's 4. In Modern, you have 6, so that's 10. In Non-Wrestlers, you have 3, that's 13. In Rest of the World, you have 14. So that's what? You have 14 new acts, or new slash returning acts this year. Last year you had, who were all the new people last year? It would have been Sid Vicious. It would have been the Wild Samoans. If I do a Command F2, that might get me there. It was the Wild Samoans. It was Sid Vicious, who obviously fell off. It was the, what did I say, eight? I'm going to have to recount. Sid Vicious, Wild Samoans. That's two. You had Takayama, Takajit Singh, kind of, Zack Sabre Jr., and Kenta Miyahara. That is six. You're at now. Moving on to Mexico. Gran Hamada, kind of. I like the kind ofs. Gran Hamada, kind of. Volador Jr., Mascara Sangrada, and El Dandy, and obviously Psycho Clown. That's one, two, three, four, five. So that brings us up to 11. Modern US and Canada, you had the Young Bucks, you had Cody, you had Samoa Joe, and you had these five other people. That is eight people. That brings us up to 19. Jesus Christ, Dave. You had 19 people, and I'm not only at Modern US and Canada, I got two more categories left. You had Yoshizawa, you had Kevin Sullivan, you had Zane Bresloff. That brings us up to 22. I hope my math is right, or else this is embarrassing. Rest of the world, you had George Gordienko, and that's it, right? That's 23. So you had 23 people new to the bat last year, and I believe I said it was eight people that fell off. One, two, three, five, eight. So that is what? That is a third, roughly. 35% of those people that went onto the bat last year fell off immediately, which is fascinating, right? If that holds this year, what would that? We have 14 new people this year, and we need to get to a third of that. Half is seven. Oh, God. Some people are screaming it in my ear. Is it five? I want to say maybe it's five. Yeah, it's five. Five people could drop off this ballot if that percentage holds. And who are those five people? I don't know. And some, and I say this in a future episode, that like, in some respect, I think the new people that get added to the ballot, whether or not they stay or drop off, is sort of the voter body saying, I either, you know, I think if someone falls off immediately, it's the voter body obviously saying they don't belong. Some capacity, when you are looking at the new people, you have to decide whether or not you think they should even, to me, almost be even nominated, right? Someone who should even be on this ballot. Because if you fall off, then obviously to me, more than 90% of the voting body says this person shouldn't even be on this ballot right now, right? That is what people are saying. So it's kind of a conversation of, should this person even be on the ballot? And I think that the ballot, the show, is kind of having that conversation of, what is this person's case? Is it strong enough to even go in the Hall of Fame? But to a certain degree, subtly, we're saying, does this person belong on the ballot at all? And that is sort of the case we're making. And I am fascinated to see how these people do this year. All the newbies, all my precious little babes, how they will do this year on the ballot. And see, you know, I'm not trying to say I'm going to have any influence whatsoever. I don't think I will. I truly don't think I'll have any sort of influence on this ballot in any capacity. But I like to think, what if that number doesn't go? What if five people don't get eliminated? What if all of them stay on and we swap it out? What if all of them stay on and we get a bunch of the people at the bottom of the ballot falling off? You know, your Archie Goldies, your Zack Sabre Jr.'s, your Trish's. Can you believe it? Your Trish Stratus's. What if that happens? You know, I think that could be an interesting shift. And I think what I'm trying to say is, look, if you're voting for the new people, think about it. To me, I think about it as you're deciding whether or not they should even be on this ballot, whether or not they belong. Because look, the percentage of people that have ever been on this ballot that have gone in for their first year is an incredibly small list. I don't have the numbers in front of me of how many different people there were. I could try to count that up. I'm not that crazy. I might be crazy enough to do it though one day. But the people that have gone on the first time ever compared to the sheer number of people that have been on this ballot is an incredibly small list. So you're not really, you know, you're voting obviously for people to go in the Hall of Fame, but in some ways, you're voting whether or not it should be on the ballot at all. So don't let that sway your vote. That's not criteria whatsoever. That's just me interpreting my thoughts on the ballot. That's me just when it comes to new people. That's me on my thoughts of the ballot, the podcast, and what I'm trying to do and is discuss the case studies for all these people and basically make the case. I think an alternate title for the show is Make the Case. But, you know, what is that about? Is it a lawyer podcast? Maybe, probably. Look, the ballot this year, I think, is fascinating. I think there's a lot of different regions, like rest of the world, with all the new people, like Japan, like Mexico, like modern US and Canada. The other ones, I don't really know. But I think those four regions I'm very intrigued about. And we will see how those four regions shake out. Non-wrestlers and historical, so jam-packed. I don't freaking know, dog. I don't, you know, who the heck knows? But I just think there's a lot of voter stuff up for grabs this year. And so we'll just see how it goes. Next week, we'll talk Sweet Daddy Siki with Greg Oliver. The week after that, we'll talk about Masaki Mochizuki with Alan Farrell. The week after that, we might talk about Bill Mercer with a mystery person that I don't know yet. And then from there, I'll give my proper thoughts on the ballot. I think when I started this, I was going to say that I purposely don't necessarily talk too much my opinions on things, because I really want to have the guests shine a lot more, because the reason I bring on the guests is to discuss stuff. I obviously give my thoughts. I obviously present some of my cases when it comes to like drawing or thoughts on wrestling, whatever. But I don't really talk about like fully. You know, at the end of the show, I always ask the guests, what is your thought on the region? Who do you think? And maybe we discuss a little bit, but like, I don't necessarily give my thoughts all the time. And, you know, I'll have those two episodes where I give my pure thoughts. So stay tuned for all that. That's coming at you this October on the ballot. All these things will be due November 8th. And then obviously after November 8th, probably the 12th, I would presume. Not the 12th. No, the ballots are due the 8th. Depending how quick of a turnaround Dave does. I don't remember how I remember last year was super quick for Dave. Because I think last year he was tallying as they came in, which was smart. So there is a chance Dave puts it in the Observer on the 14th. If not, maybe the 21st. You could go see Wicked for Good and then go read the Observer to see who got into the ballot. So it could be super quick. It could be December. Either way, obviously, the following Wednesday, I'll try to put an episode out about whoever else, or rather, who goes into the Hall of Fame, who's off the Hall of Fame ballot altogether, and what are the new names for the ballot for 2026, and rather, the season of the podcast, The Ballot, for 2026. So, I guess you'll hear past me talk next week, and then you'll hear future me talk in a couple weeks after that. So, until then, goodbye, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to this season of The Ballot. I hope you enjoy voting season. I hope you go back and listen to all the episodes of The Ballot. I love you all. Thank you genuinely so much for making the show as successful as it has been, even on a small scale. It genuinely means a lot to me. And I feel like exactly what I want to be doing in the wrestling space. Even if I'm not necessarily the best at it or the most knowledgeable, I really want to try hard to learn so much and do a bunch of research. I got a lot of compliments from various people about how much research I do, and it means genuinely a lot to me. I'm getting too real. I need to end this fucking show. Thank you everybody for listening to the show. It genuinely means a lot, all the feedback that I've gotten. A lot of people enjoy the show. Tell your friends. Tell your friends, especially this ballot season, this Hall of Fame season. I don't know. I'm tired. I've talked too much. My mouth is dry as hell. It's 10 p.m. I love you all. Goodbye, everybody.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hey, have you guys heard of the new show on the Count Out Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend, Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying. Kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.